When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's a Thursday, and that means we get to talk to our friend, IA Hall of Famer Lucy Burch from DraftKings. And Lucy, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. I hope you had a happy New Year, but it doesn't seem like whatever you did, your New Year was as happy as Tom Brady's. And so I need to get your thoughts, and maybe you guys don't know who Alex Earle is, but she's an influencer, and she's 25, and he seemed to be spending his New Year with her. So what did you think of that?
Yes. Well, happy New Year. My goodness gracious, did he have probably the best New Year's that anyone's ever had in the world, possibly.
Wow.
So he was in St. Bart's with Alex Earle. So Tom Brady, former NFL player, Alex Earle, current influencer and superstar, might I say, because she was just on Dancing with the Stars. And I didn't watch it, but I did watch her abs on social media in Dancing with the Stars. And she is hot. So Tom Brady also hot, objectively. So both of these two together, they did find each other in St. Bart's at some yacht party, and they were, I think, dancing together, basically, and she was rubbing his back like you've never seen. It was very nice to watch that. It was kind of hot. And so he then had his hand on her ass. I mean, her butt. Excuse me. Her butt. I'm so sorry.
We've heard. We get much worse on about a weekly basis.
I never remember.
Just say, excuse my French.
Yes.
First.
Yeah.
So
you can say anything you want.
He had his hand all over her. Pardon me. And so she looked like they were, you know, and things were happening. Like maybe, are they going to start dating? Is this just a one-time thing? So she also just broke up with Braxton Berrios. So Braxton Berrios currently plays for the Texans, did play for the Dolphins, played for the Jets, was drafted by the New England Patriots when Tom Brady played for the Patriots. Not only that, Braxton Berrios was quoted last summer saying that Tom Brady, when he was drafted, gave him a PhD in football, helped him out so much. And now Tom Brady is all over his ex-girlfriend. So can you imagine being an NFL player who's like kind of on the lower rung of, he's not a superstar. I mean, because of he's dating her probably, but that's it. And Tom Brady has his hands all over your ex-girlfriend. I mean, it's just, it is a great time to be Alex Earle. It's a great time to be Tom Brady. Now they're posting all this cryptic stuff about Tom Brady's flying somewhere, and he's posting stuff about how people are beautiful because of the inside. And she's posting like, rumor has it, we're still dancing. Like, they're having fun with this. And I don't know how much fun Braxton Berrios is having right now, but their New Year's, I think, was probably the best New Year's anyone could ever have.
Well, Burge, was this just like a hookup, or do you think like maybe they could end up dating? Like, what are you expecting? What's next?
So I'm leaning that this is just a hookup, and based on some of the headlines and reports and rumors, that didn't even happen. It didn't result in a hookup. And who knows? But from the looks of it, it's like, yeah, that should be the next step in this. This is kind of getting very steamy. But I wonder what the real story is. But my inclination is this is just a hookup and maybe a series of hookups. I don't know if it's going to be serious, but if it is serious, that would be something. If you see Alex Earle when he's doing games on Fox and Alex Earle is there, or in the off season or whatever, after they're at the Super Bowl together or something, or like they're on Tom Brady's boat together, and he lives in Miami. She went to the University of Miami, as did Braxton Berrios. And she spends a lot of time there and in L.A., as does Tom. Like, it kind of would work if they were dating. But I will note as well, she is still older than Jordan Hudson.
Yes.
So Bill Belichick's girlfriend, still younger than Tom Brady's hookup.
you led me right where I wanted to go.
Oh, jeez. Don't ask.
We've been trying to find ways to get you down here for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I would be somewhat repulsed, honestly, if the Baltimore Ravens hired Bill Belichick. But
let's go with that dream.
Yes, if they did, would you come down here? Like, you know, first game of the year, like if the Patriots are on the schedule, whatever. Like, That's going to be a prominent game. They're going to have a prominent primetime game in Baltimore with Billy B and Jordan. I guess she'll still be on the scene. If she's still on the scene, would you come down here and take that in with your own eyes? Maybe see if you could run into her on the street, take a selfie with her, whatever.
Yeah, maybe to get me down there, get me an interview for the job. Oh. I could interview for the Ravens head coach.
Oh, there you go.
Possibility. Yeah. And I could go up against Bill Belichick with my experience and my expertise. No, but if Bill Belichick was the head coach of the Ravens, absolutely. And Jordan was there. So this would work out perfectly. And here's why. Because, I mean, Bill Belichick is, I mean, who knows what kind of coach he is now. It's very confusing what's going on with Bill Belichick professionally. But Jordan has a lot of purple in her wardrobe. She went to Bridgewater State, which based on the, I actually don't know the colors of Bridgewater State here in Massachusetts, but she, I hadn't really thought about it until people think about Bridgewater State all the time. She wore her cheerleading, Bridgewater State cheerleading championship ring to the NFL honors, and the diamonds, in quotes, on this ring were purple. Hmm. So I do believe their color is purple, but she has a lot of purple. Purple's a great color for her. So I think that would be the reason he should get the job, obviously. I think that would be, definitely realistic. And
do you think
I
she's think got purple bedazzled clothes already? Like, she's already got basically Ravens cheerleader gear. It just doesn't have the Ravens logo on it.
She definitely does. And I think she probably has every color bedazzled everything.
Yeah,
so because she does her bedazzling herself. She DIBs, do-it-yourself bedazzle or whatever. So she DIYB. She did everything for North Carolina. So I would think she'd do it for this too. And that could actually be a really good business for her. So I think it would all come together. I think and she also has competed in cheerleading. This is actually how we found out in the first place a couple of years ago that they were even dating in the first place, was that she was competing at a cheerleading competition in the DC area, in kind of around there. Huh. And he was there, and somebody called into sports radio here and said that he was there with his daughter and Bill Belichick was there. So that was weird. People were like, I don't know about this. Yeah. And so that's how the ball got rolling.
Do you think she competes in bedazzling? Are there bedazzling competitions, or do you think she just competes in cheerleading? I bet there's a bedazzling contest. No,
there has to be. Husband calling competitions. There's a competition for everything. So I think should do the there. It's in the in Iowa or something.
Oh,
there's
gotta
be a competition for everything. Right. Yeah. So she could enter a bedazzling competition and win it for sure.
So we're talking with Lucy Burge, Inside Access, here on the Fan.
There's Iowa.
Lucy, so am I to assume you think that these guys are still together a year from now?
Yes. I think they will be together for the rest of Bill Belichick's life.
She's getting a ring, isn't she?
I think this is it. I think they will get married, and I feel like there will be like a secret marriage at some point. And they reveal it. They soft launch it in a process of wearing their rings. There was a time here in New England when Bill Belichick started wearing what he said was a fitness ring. I think he still wears it. And he was asked directly, are you married to Linda? Because they were both wearing rings. And I still don't know. I don't think they were ever legally married, but there was something there with the rings they were wearing. And I wonder if they're going to do this. Jordan and Bill will start doing this, and the pictures of their wedding will come out or something. I do think they're going to end up getting married.
Burge, I guess congratulations in order. You're a regular host on NESN. What's the new gig? What's the new gig?
Yes. So big announcement today. In New England, the NESN is the local station that broadcasts all the Red Sox games, Bruins games, all that stuff. So like Massive, basically.
Actually, it's nothing like Massive. It's actually way better than original programming.
There's zero local programming
and a certain standard of broadcast. No, it really, like it's... What is it? What did Ray Lewis once say? You can't turn grapefruits into...
Can't make oranges be peaches.
There you go.
Yeah. That happened.
Well, yes. So, yes. Well, yes. So they have some programming on NESN, and so I will be the host of one of the shows regularly.
Nice.
Awesome. So that is very exciting. Yes, I'm really, really excited for this. It will be leading into Red Sox pregame. So if you're ever up here watching a Red Sox game, start watching a little bit early.
Hours Bone early. Bone comes to my house tomorrow. And gives me the hookup.
Don't put it out there.
I'll be able to see everything.
Well, he will, but on the low.
Yeah.
We'll see everything. Yes.
Well, congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, so is it a betting show or is it just a Red Sox show or?
It is a. It's not bad. It's. I mean, sprinkle in some betting here and there, but it is. It's just kind of a chat show. It's called Boston Has Entered the Chat. And we look at some fan tweets regularly and react to them and what people here are talking about. So it's basically like if we were sitting in your living room talking about the Celtics, Patriots, Bruins, Red Sox, and anything else that comes up. Harbaugh came up in one of the rehearsals that we did. So it kind of a mix of things, but it's we're just chatting. We're just
you
chatting.
Go, girl.
So this debuts when Red Sox season starts, or?
So it debuts on Monday.
Oh.
It will start on Monday. So the show has been going on, but a different time slot. So it was 8 to 10 a.m., and now it will be 4 to 6 p.m. And pretty much, I mean, I was not a regular host on it. It is now more like formally, like, here are the hosts of the show. And we're going to build it into a rocket ship going to the moon, basically.
There you go.
I'm really excited.
Take over the world. Like, one
I bet you Cammy Cam Cam's watching every afternoon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I will send him a direct link.
He better be.
You got any, obviously, there's a playoff game tonight. What do you like?
Yes. So I am all in on the Miami Hurricanes.
Nice.
Go Canes. I am taking the Hurricanes -3. They have won 6 in a row, and they are 4-0 against ranked opponents this season. So the Fiesta Bowl is something that they need to conquer. Historically, they haven't been great, and I believe they're 0-4 in the Fiesta Bowl. So tonight, they'll, I think, add a 1 there, and they will win and cover this spread, -3, Miami.
Where can people find you, Lucy?
She just told us.
You can find me on Nesson. Again. Yes, and you can find me at DraftKings, of course, and you can find me on Twitter at Lucille Burge and Instagram, same thing, TikTok, Lucy Burge 1.
Lucy,
thank
you're
you.
The
Congrats.
Best. Yeah, thanks as always. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Coming up next, I don't know how you follow that, but T-Bone time, TMI, TIM, what you got?
Well, this week, and what we would have been
on the show with, what is your show called?
Purple
you got
connection.
A show. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah,
you
go. Yeah.
That's how you follow
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's true.
Purple Connection.
But, we would have been talking about a lot of different things this way. Oh, Jason's throwing me off my vibe here.
Sorry.
Ruining my
I'm trying to promote your other projects.
Your Rainbow Connection.
Shame on me.
But
yeah. Shame
but
on me.
But it's over
deleted
now,
a TMI.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's over?
Well, it's over.
Not going to do a special edition when they hire a coach or something?
Well, I just did the Harbaugh game.
Can't you do some offseason?
What about when the next guy gets hired?
I guess.
Or girl.
Look, Jay-Z, you know where I'm at. Come on.
Pitch him some ideas.
Rainbow Connection.
This week would have been a lot different in what we were talking about if that kick went through the uprights, talking about Tyler Loop, because Lamar Jackson put on the cape, but
Mike McDaniel will still have a job.
Throwing it to Zay Flowers, who ended up having a monster game and really, really good season when you dive into all the numbers, and we'll get into it next on The Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Zay Flowers entering the fourth quarter of Sunday night's game against the Steelers didn't really do a whole heck of a lot. And then he went bananas in the fourth quarter. He had 2 touchdown receptions of 50-plus yards, both go-ahead scores. That had never happened before in NFL history, a receiver doing that in the fourth quarter. He ended up finishing the game with 4 catches, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns. And, guys, he ended up having a really strong year 3, and what you're seeing is an ascending player each year. 858 yards as a rookie, 1,059 yards last year. This year, 1,211 yards. He finished with the 7th most receiving yards in all of football. Career high in catches, yards, yards per target, catch percentage, receiving success rate, and tied a career high in touchdowns. And he was playing his best ball down the stretch. Final 5 games of the season, Zay Flowers had 26 catches for 444 yards and four touchdowns. Yeah. Because prior to that point, he only had the one touchdown. Yep. And we're all saying, where the heck? So four touchdowns in those last five games. And he also had that 18-yard rushing touchdown. So five total touchdowns in the final five games. And I was on NFL Pro this morning, kind of just diving into different statistics as well. I remember being out at training camp, and it was one of the initial press conferences that Zay had, and he talked about wanting to be better in the deep passing game. And he said he did a lot of agility work to get faster, to get quicker in doing so. Zay Flowers had the third most receiving yards on deep passes, so 20-plus air yards. He had the third most receiving yards on deep passes in all of the NFL.
Wow.
He caught 11 of 18 targets, so a great percentage there as well. And something that I was hitting on a lot throughout the year, where Lamar didn't have the season that he was hoping for, didn't have the season that anyone was hoping for, but one area in which he was extremely effective was play action. He was still the best quarterback in play action in the NFL. Zay Flowers benefited the most from that. Yeah. He had the second most receiving yards on play action. This is even crazier. Caught 29 of 33 targets. 29 of 33 targets on play action. And also, this is something that Zay's been really effective with his entire career. You always see Zay Flowers in motion. He had the third most receiving yards when in motion, caught 28 of 37 targets when in motion. And when you isolate Zay's yards per route run in games that Lamar finished this year, 2.61, only receivers with a higher overall rate was Puka and JSN.
Wow. So that's the two that come to mind. Deep guys.
So Zay, is he ever going to be that true dominant number one wide receiver? Probably not, considering the body type. You don't typically see a guy like Antonio Brown's the only other, like in terms of a smaller, true number one wide receiver. I think of Antonio Brown, and outside of him with that body type, it's tough. But that being said, Zay Flowers can and will continue to be a damn good receiver, and he broke the curse of there's never been a drafted Ravens wide receiver selected to the Pro Bowl as a wide receiver. And he did it in back-to-back years and second most receiving yards in the AFC. So Zay firmly on the upswing.
He finished seventh in the NFL in receiving yards, second in the AFC.
That's
great. The NFC dominated receiving. But only Jamar Chase had more receiving yards than Zay Flowers in the AFC. It's pretty incredible. I'm impressed with how he finished, because he finished so strong. And again, the touchdowns we were talking about, he caught a touchdown on his sixth target and then never caught another touchdown again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, a lot of receiving touchdowns are inside the red zone, and that's tough terrain for him with how he's built. That's just the reality. Picking him out, and Lamar's not the biggest, most strapping quarterback in the league. So for him to find a smaller target when the field gets that condensed is very difficult.
But you touched on this too, Jason, earlier, and the Pittsburgh game is the perfect illustration of it. Him and Lamar are rarely not on the same page. Mm-hmm. Like, when there's scramble drills going, like, that's when both of them are at their best.
And it was like that from the giddy-up. Whereas with Bateman, we were shocked when it did finally click first, in so much as it did click. It never clicked with Odell. It never really clicked with Watkins. It never really clicked with Hot Diop.
You saw that. They got the Ravens-Steelers game on. You saw that on that second down play where he's got him on the sideline, and he wants D-Hop to drift down the sideline.
And
D-Hop just stood still. Alas, coming up next, if you like Bone, more Bone coming. He hosts Bounce Back Fallback next here on the...
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fan.
Well, nothing to review because the majority of our questions yesterday were for this weekend's wild card games, but both of you guys did say that the Terps would not cover. So
no, we both got a point so far.
12 and a half. We said you could take it easily over 12 and a half.
It was set at 8.5. So we're going to do
Coleman took it up. He listened to the book of the WannaBet. He texted me this morning.
He did?
Said he played at alt lines, above 12 and a half. So.
And Jerry will be joining us tomorrow to talk about John Harbaugh, Steve Bisciotti, other things. So
he's posting a bunch of old pictures of him and Harps.
He is.
He tried to like, hey, can I drop some of these t-shirts off at your house? Those old Momentum t-shirts? I said, absolutely not. Don't you dare step on my property.
What were the old t-shirts?
Oh, you've never seen these things? It's like a weird cutout of Harbaugh's head. Harb said something about Momentum years ago. It's back when I used to do the podcast with Coleman. Yeah. And he thought it was going to like take the world by storm. And he got all these ridiculous shirts made up. And it's like Harb's weird version of his face. And it says like Momentum. And then it's got like whatever ridiculous quote he gave about Momentum on the back. Oh, yeah.
Assuming he gave Harb's a t-shirt, though.
Oh, I'm sure Harb's has plenty.
Yeah. Wears them to work out.
So today we're going to do something a little different, and the payoff's going to be probably a few weeks when all of this is done.
Oh, but you'll have it all documented, locked down.
Dude, I have shows from years ago.
I
can go back years.
I wasn't
challenging
you. I was affirming you.
So we're looking at the job openings, and full disclosure, Book of the Bone did not have Miami this morning listed. So what we're doing is I'm going to give you the top three odds for coach to be insert team here.
Okay.
And it's going to be bounce back if you think it's one of the three. It's fall back if you take the rest of the field.
Okay.
We're going to end with the Ravens. Start with the Cardinals. Top three in order for all of these. So first one's the favorite. Ken, the Cardinals will end up hiring one of Vance Joseph, Mike McCarthy, or Clint Kubiak. All of these odds courtesy of Book of the Bone.
I could see Vance Joseph. Where was he his first go? Like he
Broncos.
Broncos, right? Yeah. Now, I could see Vance Joseph, so I'll bounce back there.
Okay.
I will say that they hire someone from the McVay family tree, offensive coach.
So
could
fall.
Be a Kubiak type.
Mike LaFleur,
something like that. So it won't be one of those three.
Okay. All right. He did say Kubiak type things. Raiders.
Up and comer, cheap.
Raiders.
I could continue with the profile because I'm familiar with the Bidwells.
Yeah.
How they think, their worldview, who they support. I got a pretty good idea.
The Raiders hire one of Brian Flores, Clint Kubiak, or John Harbaugh, Jason?
I think Flores could be interesting.
Yeah.
He would be a Raiders guy.
And I mean, Brady, New England.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I could see that.
Okay. So I bounce back there. Ken?
It's basically one of two guys.
It's not going
to
be Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh's not going to the Raiders. But I do like Flores at that gig as well, so I will bounce back again.
The Giants hire one of Kevin Stefanski, John Harbaugh, or Mike McCarthy. Ken.
I honestly think it's going to be one of those three guys.
Yeah.
I will bounce back. I would like to fall back on one of these, Bone, but I'm bouncing back a lot.
Hey, top three odds, man.
I think it's Kevin Stefanski.
I'm sure the New York media will love his big personality.
Yeah, he's very dynamic.
The Falcons hire one of Kevin Stefanski, Clint Kubiak, or Cliff Kingsbury, Jason.
Dude, who's somebody hires Cliff Kingsbury?
He's on another
Ravens
team.
Ravens have requested an interview for Cliff Kingsbury, by the way.
No, they're not.
Fallback, okay.
I think they're hiring somebody who's been a head coach before. And not Cliff Kingsbury.
Stefanski's still on the list.
And I got Stefanski with the
Giants.
That's
true. Okay.
Yeah, he does.
All right.
See, my gut was saying they'd hire somebody like Chris Shula. But I'm going to fall back.
The Browns hire one of Jim Schwartz, Mike McDaniel, or Clint Kubiak.
That me?
Yes, Ken.
McDaniel. Well, Mike McDaniel, Clint Kubiak, and who?
Jim Schwartz. Who is the odds-on favorite?
I'm going to say hire Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, that one feels right.
Bounce back.
Okay.
I think he wants to sell continuity, but he needs a new offensive coordinator, and Stefanski doesn't like the quarterback. DePodesta was pushing Schwartz for that job many, many cycles ago. I mean, that's when Joe Banner and Lombardi were in the building.
Yeah.
Or no, DePodesta was after that. It was like right after that when DePodesta
came
in. Right after
pushed everybody
up. It's a long time ago. I think Sasha might have been a marketing guy or a lawyer at that point in time or something like that. Or maybe he was still with the Jags as a lawyer there. I don't know. Definitely wasn't the Mystics, although that's probably where he belongs.
You said Schwartz. So I think it's Schwartz. Bounce back? Okay. The Titans hire one of Matt Nagy, Kevin Stefanski, or Cliff Kingsbury?
Me or Jason?
Jason.
It's one of the I have a feeling that's where Kubiak ends up.
Okay.
Let's see. Who else? Kingsbury and who else is in your list?
Nagy.
Stefanski and Nagy.
See, I feel Nagy.
Yeah, I think she would hire Nagy or Kingsbury, who are Bobos.
So it's a bounce back.
Sure.
It's a Bobo bounce back.
Ken?
Although I do think my gut is Kubiak, but they're enough like him and they've done it before.
When you said Titans, I thought Nagy, so I'll bounce back.
And finally, for the Ravens hire one of Jesse Minter, Brian Flores, or Clint Kubiak. Ken.
I think it's going to be one of those three guys. So yeah, I'm gonna bounce back, Bon.
Jason,
I'm gonna say Jesse Minter.
Jesse Minter. Okay, so that is a bounce back there.
Well, we won't be able to review these for a minute.
Man,
though,
it's going to be a while. It'll be a while. And to give you top six for the Ravens for Book of the Bone.
Oh, just Book of
for
the Bone.
You know what?
Well, you
giggles.
Went deep.
Cliff Kingsbury, number four. Kevin Stefanski, 5. Joe Brady, 6.
Would you like to remind people? I was told this morning that there's some people in the building that like Joe Brady and kind of made me go side eye. Your fetish for people who weren't listening yesterday. Your fetish for Kevin Stefanski.
Look, he would be high up there on the list for me. Now, if LaFleur ends up getting fired and the Packers lose Saturday I think he would be atop the list. But Stefanski makes a lot of sense to me, man. I don't think the Ravens would do it because I think optics, like you're taking the coach that the Browns kicked to the curb and you're going to bring him in, but the Browns have made the playoffs 3 times since rejoining the league as an expansion team back in 1999. 2002, 2020, 2023. Kevin Stefanski became coach of the Browns in 2020. Rookie head coach in the middle of COVID. They won a playoff game, beat the Steelers that year. And then 2023, when scumbag Deshaun Watson ended up blowing out his shoulder against the Ravens, you bring Joe Flacco off the bench, and he has that magic carpet ride to the playoffs. I think Kevin Stefanski, and I've always thought this, is a damn good coach, and I think he would do well here. Do I think he'll come here? Meh.
Never mention Steve Spagnuolo in that whole list.
Which is where I was going to segue.
Everybody forgets about Spags. Everybody sleeps on Spags. I think you probably consulted with some, some of the apps, like Futures, Next Coach of, those markets. I'm guessing Book of the Bone, maybe with a little bit of cross-checking from the actual sports books. And Spags' name never came up.
Which brings us to a perfect segue. Steve Spagnuolo, it's oddly not mentioned in any of those coaching searches. We make the case for Steve Spagnuolo with the Ravens next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that road right now. I mean, I'm involved in this, but listen, I'm a prideful guy. We'll see what happens at the end of the year, and we'll take it from there.
Steve Spagnuolo, when asked, does he want to be an NFL head coach again, says, look, I got some pride, but I don't want to talk about it right now. It sounds to me like he'd like to be an NFL head coach again.
He interviewed a few times in recent years, not nearly as many as I thought he should. It's always boggled my mind. And I think part of the untold sort of story of this Chiefs dynasty that's declining, and maybe it'll revive again, it's not Reed and Mahomes. It's Reed, Mahomes, Spags, and Dave Tobe. They've managed to keep the greatest. He might go down as the greatest head coach in NFL history, the second greatest to Belichick, or in the top five, who's also an elite offensive schemer with a quarterback who might go down top five. But Steve Spagnuolo is a top three defensive coordinator in this league, and Dave Tobe's been one of the best special teams coaches forever. And the fact that nobody's plundered their brain trust, while you look at some of these feckless coaches who feckless. They get hot coordinator after this guy and hot coordinator after that guy. I mean, dude, people have plundered Zach Taylor's staff more than they've plundered Andy Reid's. Callahan. It's ridiculous. And I know that he lost Nagy for a minute. He was fine losing Nagy when he lost him to Chicago. So I think Steve Spagnuolo, he's done it before. He was in a tough spot with the Rams. He knows this would be his last bite at the apple. I don't care that he's 65. We're trying to win now. He would fix the defense overnight, and he would come in with all those years of checking Andy Reid's offense at practice 3 days a week. A guy who, like, he's got great mentors. He's from a great coaching family tree. I think he understands people in this part of the country. He's got ties to this part of the country. Philly, coached it with the Giants. Like, he gets it. Gets that Northeast corridor. He's more than deserving of a second chance to be an NFL head coach. And I think he would also come in with his own ideas about what's going to work and what's not going to work. And he's not anybody's pushover, and he's not anybody's puppet. And frankly, they don't need puppets.
It's just so puzzling to me that he never got that second chance. And this is a guy that's an NFL lifer. He's been in the NFL since 1999. With going back to Philadelphia, and his first defensive coordinator gig was the 2007 Giants, who, of course, they ended up upsetting the then undefeated Patriots at that point. And you're right, St. Louis was a debacle, but for him to not get another bite at the apple, like, what is the reasoning, Jay? Like, does he not interview well?
I just think people get caught up in the flavors. There's not many defensive coaches have been hired for head coaching jobs. I mean, it's predominantly offense. The trend has become younger. Look, the league got taken over by, I call them young guys. Now some of them are in their 50s, but a lot of them in their 40s. And when you saw the rise of analytics in this game, you saw the rise of young GMs in this game. They want people who think like them. They want people who are malleable, who are going to kowtow. It's like the baseball model.
Yeah.
The manager gets neutralized by the GM, and that's what they've pushed and espoused, and so that's who they gravitate to. And if it doesn't work out, I might get to hire another one. But he's just been sort of overlooked. And this isn't the first time I've been like, I think Spags is the perfect guy for a particular job. But we'll see if they even talk to him. It would be really telling if they talk to a whole bunch of people and he's not one of them. And I mean, I don't want to hear ageism. I mean, he's 65. He's not 75. His system works. And this is a guy who had the special sauce to take away Tom Brady. And now he's practiced against Patrick Mahomes all of Patrick Mahomes' career. And like, as long as Mahomes and Reed are still there, how many down seasons are they going to have? He's got a little bit of Harbs in him. I think Bisciotti, if he gets an audience with him, would be able to connect with him in some ways. And again, he ties back to those same Andy Reid staffs that Harbs does.
Well, and remember, he spent a couple years in Baltimore.
Yes,
he with did. Harbs, 2013 and 2014.
Yes, he did.
He had 3 years in St. Louis, and people, I think, don't remember what a mess that St. Louis. Like, this wasn't the Kurt Warner St. Louis, and this wasn't once they got to L.A. and it was Sean McVay. Like, this franchise was a mess.
The singular goal from Kroenke, who split his time from in L.A. and Colorado and was never in St. Louis, was he got his hands on that team to move them to L.A. And everything that was being done, everything being run dirt cheap, crappy facilities. Like, everything was about, this is a temporary gig. But he had no chance. It had no chance.
So he's, and it's almost like he has to wear all that. Because, again, he's not gotten...
lesser guys have gotten second chance.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, who's the guy with the eyes that was Peyton Manning's coach?
Oh, Gase.
Yeah. Adam Gase somehow got two head coaching jobs.
Yeah. Because young, analytical, from the right family tree. And look, Spags is going to have some ish to him, but I think
we've talked
about this roster and the way they do things and how they don't, they think they invented football. There needs to be checks and balances, and Spags would provide them.
But I think to end on it, though, you bring up the GM and just a new, would this be a guy that Eric DaCosta would want?
No, I don't think so. No.
But could he be a guy
that doesn't mean he wouldn't be the best guy for the job?
And also, could he be a guy that interviews well with Steve Bisciotti? Because at the end of the day, I think Steve Bisciotti is going to make the ultimate call. Now, as you said,
absolutely.
Jason, as you said yesterday, they can rig the test for Jesse Minter, and he can be glowing in that interview. But could Spags sell Steve Bisciotti?
I mean, I think he could, but he'd have to, have to be on that list. We don't know how the sausage is being made there. I mean, in terms of what is Sashi bringing up, what is Eric bringing up? Is Steve talking to a lot of other people around the league for names? Is he just relying on these guys for names? But if you cast a super wide net,
which it sounds like they are,
if you're talking to Nagy and you're not talking to Spags,
Kingsbury.
I mean, okay.
Already interviewed Vance Joseph.
What? Okay.
Coming up next, Ravens, by the way, will hold a press conference on Tuesday. Eric DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti. Steve Bisciotti speaking to the NMOS media for the first time since after the 2017 season. They got a lot of questions to answer, and it's going to be a big year for Eric DaCosta. Is he up for it? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.